After Aaron's two sons died, Hashem spoke to Moshe, Bikarvasam, Lifnei Hashem Vayamutu, that Aaron's two sons came too close to God and they died. This is Vayikra chapter 16. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, and after his sons died, God says to Moshe, Daber al Aaron Achicha, speak to your son Aaron, with the following command. Vayavo b'cholet el HaKodesh, he should come, not at any time, into the holy, mi beit la parochet, on the other side of the curtain. So what do we call that space? The space on the other side of the curtain. The holiest of holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Aaron is told he cannot go on the other side of the curtain at any time. El Pnei HaKaporet, right next to the cover, Asher al HaAaron, which is on the ark. Aaron shall not do that, v'lo yamut, lest he die. Because God says, I appear upon the covering of the ark in a cloud. Looking at this verse, it would seem to me that the Torah is legislating a command that applies to the high priest and only the high priest, not to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the innermost sanctum, at any time, and that the high priest, may only enter on Yom Kippur. This looks like a law that applies in the smallest of spaces, a 15 feet by 15 feet square, that is the holiest of holies, and to the most narrow group of people, to the high priest and only to the high priest. This appears to be the simple reading of the verse, and this goes to be one of the 613 mitzvot in the Torah that no one here has ever violated because we're not the high priest. So, you know, this didn't happen to any of us. When the Rambam takes this law and explains it in the second chapter of Biyat Mikdash, the second chapter of the laws of temporal entry, Rambam says, by way of introduction, Ein kohen gadol nechnas l'kodesh kadoshim el miyom kippurim liyom kippurim. As we know, the high priest only enters the holiest of holies on Yom Kippur. The kohen hegdot nechnas l'kodesh l'avodah b'chol yom, but any priest can enter the sanctuary any day. Vizaru kol hakodashim, kol hakohanim, all of the priests are warned, shelo yikansu l'kodesh o l'kodesh hakadoshim, that they may not enter the holy or the holiest of holies. Shelo b'shat avodah, if they're not in the middle of service. The Rambam here has made two expansions to the law. One, the expansion of audience, and two, the expansion of space. Both of these are reasonable, but we should note that they are both expansions. First, the expansion of people, he says, v'huzaru kol hakohanim, all kohanim. There's a recognition that this law does not just apply to Aaron. The verse applies to Aaron because, as we said, he's the one who usually enters the holiest of holies, so you might think he can always enter. But it's expanded to include all kohanim. Any kohen may not enter. That's the expansion of person. But there's also an expansion of space. Shlo yikansu lakodesh, o lakodesh hakadoshim. Not just the holiest of holies, but this rule applies even to the holies. Well, obviously the Kohanim must enter to be able to do service, but the Rambam says it's prohibited to enter shelo bishat avodah, not at a time of service. Now the verse, ayavo b'choleis l'kodesh, he may not only enter the holiest of holies, zeh kodesh hakodeshim, mibeit l'parochet, the house of the curtain, which we understood to mean the curtain inside, he takes to mean the curtain outside, le'azir al kol habayit. So this comes to teach you that the entire indoor part of the temple structure is under this law, and the law has been expanded to include any priest entering the holy or the holiest of holies, not for a valid purpose. Now, the law is reasonable. I understand that if it's God's house, if it's the king's house, you shouldn't be allowed to enter for no reason. But it's clearly an expansion of the verse. I'll note here as an aside, it's not doesn't really follow with this particular Rambam, but it's an important part of the law that we should bring up, that this law is suspended for needed repairs. And one of the surprising things about this law is that you might have said, well, no one is ever allowed to enter, so if there's a needed repair, then you just don't do the repair or something like that. But actually, the halakha is that no one is allowed to enter, and if you enter when you're not supposed to enter, you die. But if there's a badly needed repair, then the repairmen are allowed to enter the temple in order to do the badly needed repair. The Minchat Chinuch, in his commentary on this mitzvah, says, "De'im ha'echal tzarech tikun, if it needs a repair, afilu kodesh hakadashim, even if it's the holiest of holies, nichnasim l'sham, then you're allowed to enter. Mitzvah b'kohanim, ideally a kohen should enter, and if not, even a non-kohen can enter. Levi's better than a Yisrael, etc." But this is like a surprising law, which basically says, don't enter, and if you enter when you're not supposed to, you could die. But if we need a repair, then, you know, then anybody is allowed to enter. What's interesting about the expansion is that even Rambam recognizes that it's an expansion. Namely, even Rambam recognizes that the simple reading of the text limits this law to the holiest of holies, and that it's an expansion, whether it's an exegetical expansion based on the text, whether it's a logical expansion based on our own minds and our own analysis. But Rambam recognizes that it's an expansion to take this law from the holiest of holies and to turn it and to apply it to the entire temple. And that is self-evident from the Rambam's next two halachot. Rambam says in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, Kohen shenichnas l'kodesh hakadoshim b'shar yimot hashana, if the entry is to the holiest of holies, bein kohen ajot, bein kohen gadol, we noted that the Rambam has expanded this law to any priest, o kohen gadol shenichnas l'yom kippurim shlo b'shar sabod, or even on Yom Kippur if it was at the wrong time, chayav misa b'dei shamayim, the penalty is death, shenemar v'lo yamut, God promises that if the priest enters the holiest of holies, they will die. Only is he allowed to enter the four appropriate times, and if he enters one additional time, he's worthy of the death penalty. However, hanichnas lakodesh, chutz hakodesh hakadoshim, shelo la'avoda, lo ken. Entry into the holies only receives lashes. Rambam says the core law is entering the holiest of holies, and therefore the death penalty is received for somebody who enters the holiest of holies when not authorized. The expansion takes the law and brings the law to the entire temple, and we recognize that that's an expansion. We recognize that's not the core. We're moving it a little bit beyond, and therefore the entry to the temple without permission is not punishable with the death penalty. It's instead punished only with lashes. We're used to thinking about the laws of the Torah as being sort of yes, no, you're in violation or you're not in violation. Rambam is saying you either are in full violation, which is the holiest of holies, or regarding somebody who's drunk and then does temple service. But there also are ways to violate the law biblically, but on a somewhat lesser level. In this case, entering the holy, but not the holiest of holies for no reason. And in the case of drinking, somebody who's drunk and approaches the temple, but not who does service. And so the Rambam recognizes that this is an expansion. HaKodesh HaKadoshim B'mita, the core law with the death penalty is the holiest of holies. V'al Shar Bayit B'lav V'loka. And the rest of the temple is lashes, but not the death penalty. Okay, so the Rambam here says, Hishtachavaya to bow. And it gets us thinking about what exactly is the purpose of entering the temple and the holies or the holiest of holies. We're used to thinking that the purpose of entry to the temple is to do a service. You have to offer incense in the temple, so you enter the temple in order to offer incense. You have to light the menorah in the temple, so you enter the temple in order to light the menorah. But if we think about it, there's also an idea of entering for the purpose of just being in God's presence. What's behind this law? And is it valid to say that I want to enter just to be in God's presence? Now, you look at the law at first, and the law is rather harsh because it seems to say that God is not asking for us to be in his presence. God is asking for us to serve him. If you don't have a reason to serve him, you may not enter just to be in God's presence. But what do you make of this addition here that the Rambam says there is no penalty, there is no violation if somebody enters for no reason other than to bow? Seems. Is this the Rambam's way of saying that if you only want to enter the temple to have a relationship with God, just to go and bow and express your feeling, that's a valid enough reason for entry even without service? Because God commands us to do certain things. We're not really ever commanded to bow. The Rambam here seems to maybe be saying that bowing alone is reason enough for entry. But that also means that this law is rarely going to be applied because any Kohen who ever enters will quickly bow in order to make sure that he is not in violation of this law. Rabbi Yom Tov Lipman Heller, the Tosafot Yom Tov, in his commentary on Tractate Tumid, the beginning of the seventh chapter, sort of sketches out the lines of debate. And notes that there is a wide variety of views on this question. Some rabbis take the much more limited approach and say that one is only allowed to enter for service, period. So you're allowed to enter on Yom Kippur for the Yom Kippur service, every Shabbat to exchange the showbreads, twice a day to clean and then light the menorah, and twice a day for incense, and that's it. There, bowing is allowed when it's part of the temple service, and there are some occasions when you have to bow, and then you're allowed to enter because you have to bow. But he says that there are many authorities, particularly in his view, Ashkenazic authorities, who basically say you can't enter without a reason, and bowing is not a valid reason. In contrast, there are other views, and this seems to be the simple reading of the Rambam, that if a Kohen is entering the temple for the purpose of bowing, that is a valid reason to enter. And it's not so scripted that it has to be only for service. And if it's just to bow, that still is a valid reason for entry. So just like today, the question is somewhat under debate. It was under debate then as well. Now, the Rambam expanded this law from regular Jews to Kohanim, and from the Kohen Gadol to Kohanim, and also expanded this law from the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Kodesh. But is there room to expand this law from Kohanim to regular Jews? Is there room to expand the law from the temple to even outside the temple structure? So one of the commentaries on the Rambam, the Mishnah Lamelech, asks the question, why don't we make an additional expansion beyond the Rambam's expansion? And just like that, we went from Kohen Gadol in the Holiest of Holies, and we expanded that to a regular Kohen in the entire temple, why don't we also create a prohibition of a non-Kohen to enter. And why don't we expand it further to the area around the altar as well? Why did the Rambam limit the expansion to the Kohanim? Why didn't he say that any Jew? I mean, it doesn't make that much sense. Why is it that if a Kohen enters the temple, they're in violation of a Torah law, but if I, a non-Kohen, go into that same place, I'm not in violation of the law because I'm not a Kohen? The Minchas Chinuch and the Mishnah Lemelech believe that there should be an additional expansion to include even non-Kohanim, because they, as a Kal v'Chomer, cannot enter as well. So it would seem that the modern-day rule about not entering a synagogue for no reason is grounded in this law. Our synagogues are patterned after the temple, and given that there is a biblical law in the temple not to enter for no reason, there is a later expansion on the level of rabbinic law, not biblical law, or maybe even custom, even one step lower than rabbinic law, to say, well, if you cannot enter a temple for no reason, you cannot enter a synagogue for no reason. And the Gemara Megillah rules that you cannot enter a synagogue, you know, if it's raining and you want to escape the rain, or if it's too sunny and you want to escape the sun, and you're not allowed to take a shortcut through it. So it's not stated in the Gemara explicitly that the modern law exists as an expansion of the biblical law. However, I think that that's implicit in the Gemara. We're expanding it. Death penalty, biblical law in the holiest of holies. Biblical law with no death penalty in the holy. And then rabbinic law in any one of our temples of today, which are patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. And it's a lesser level, only rabbinic. But we're going to expand it to other places. And every time a Jew is careful not to enter a synagogue for no reason, it's sort of a modern day application of this law not to enter the temple for no reason. The Gemara and Megillah rules that somebody who is going into the synagogue to pray may enter via one door and exit via another door. And a verse is cited from Yechezkel, Uvavo am ha'aretz lifnei Hashem b'moadim, when somebody goes to visit God in the temple in holidays, haba derech shar tzavon lehishtachavot, somebody who goes via the northern gate to bow, yetzei derech shar negev, can leave during from the southern gate. So you see in this verse explicitly that the law of taking a shortcut through a synagogue is patterned on the law of taking a shortcut through the temple. You see, though, that the synagogue is not compared to the actual Kodesh, the actual building, but it's applied here to the Temple Mount. And you see the same word here of Hishtachavaya as a valid reason for entry. Here you see again that to enter and bow alone, to have religious inspiration, to be present, to be in God's area, that in and of itself is a reason to make it valid to enter. The other interesting connection between our law and the Gemara and Megillah is the question about whether or not this law applies today. Is it about structure or is it about space? If this law is about structure, well, the structure of the temple no longer is standing. And because the structure no longer exists, perhaps the law should no longer apply. But if it's about space, well, the space still might retain sanctity. Regarding a synagogue, the Gemara in Megillah says, Vashimosi es mikdashechem, that God says that he might destroy our mikdashim, our temples. Kedushasan af kishehen shomimin. The space can retain holiness even when the structure is gone. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Dalet 184, when Rabbi Aaron Alevi is when Rabbi Moshe Alevi is explaining our topic, says, I believe that this mitzvah still applies today, because it says Vashimosi es Mikdash Shechem, that the holiness remains even after the structure is destroyed. Namely, Rabbi Moshe Halevi is explicitly taking the words of the Gemara in Megillah applying to the synagogue and saying that those same words apply to the temple as well. He's making the direct link that improper entry of a synagogue is essentially modeled on this law. The biblical law is entry of the temple, and the rabbinic model copy is entry of a synagogue for no valid reason. Putting all this together, the one question that I still have relates to tourism on the Temple Mount, which is a very modern day application of this law, because I don't know that they had tourism on the Temple Mount that much in the past. I would imagine that the Temple Mount has the same status as a synagogue, and the verse in Yechezkel that is quoted by the Gemara is giving, the temple compound, not just the actual sanctuary, this rule of not taking a shortcut and this rule of not entering for no reason. So somebody who's entering the Temple Mount to pray, the waqf may not allow you to pray, but somebody who's there to pray in your mind, pray in your heart, or to bow. So we saw in the Rambam that bowing is a valid reason for entry. And that's not entry for no reason. That's to be in the presence of God. That's to offer God a bow. Or as we said, bowing may include a silent prayer. And that would seem to be a valid reason for entry. But if we're prepared enough to expand this law to all Jews, we're prepared enough to expand this law beyond the structure to include synagogues or the Temple Mount, then one can ask, does entry onto the Temple Mount just to see the space, or for tourist reasons, would that be frowned upon as a further extension of this law for modern day? About that, I'm not entirely sure, but I think it's a worthwhile question to ask. So to summarize, we have a biblical law, which in its core application is for Aaron the high priest not to enter the holiest of holies. We have a first expansion, which is found in Rambam, a biblical law punished by lashes for any priest to enter the structure of the temple, the holiest of holies or the holies. We have further expansions not found in Rambam, including an expansion even for non-Kohanim. If the law applies to Kohanim, it would apply even to non-Kohanim. And also an expansion even to some of the parts of the temple campus, even not the actual structure. In my view, we have an expansion from the Gemara in Megillah on a rabbinic or custom level to prohibit entry into a synagogue for no reason. And the Gemara in Megillah seems also to include the Temple Mount in this set of laws about not entering even larger sections of the area without a valid reason. Despite all these expansions, the question that we still need to ask is, obviously, if you enter to serve, that's a valid reason to enter. But how many other reasons for entry can be valid even if not to serve? If you enter just to bow, is that a valid reason? If you enter just to be inspired, to be in God's presence? Rambam at least makes it seem that if you enter to bow, that is sufficient enough a reason to enter, and then the prohibition is not violated if one goes to be in God's presence, to bow, and to convey a sense of fealty, appreciation, and gratitude.